Executive Officer's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Couple of announcements first. Pete Silva is leaving the State Board effective November 11th. And I haven't heard about a replacement. And speaking of changes at the State Board, I think you received notification in some form that Michael Lawfer is the new Chief Counsel. And replacing Craig Wilson, who moved on to another job. And you have in your packets, unfortunately, a letter of resignation from Bruce Daniels from this board. We'll have a recognition of Bruce's service at our next meeting. We'll see if we can talk him into coming on down. In the written part of the report, we have the on page 3, we have the Stormwater Municipal General Permit information. And along those lines, just a reminder that, of course, we had the Monterey Regional Stormwater Management Plan hearing, and we have that scheduled for the February board meeting, which will be up north according to the schedule that you just adopted. So just a reminder for you that that'll be coming up in February. And then the next item that's listed there is on a conference that was on trying to get a handle on plastic waste. And based on a board member's request, we provided a much more detailed summary of that conference than we would normally provide. So I hope that's helpful. Thanks to Ryan Lodge for preparing that.
Any papers? If he got some papers or brought back some, that'd be nice to forward on. Thank you.
Okay. On recyclable email, right? And then on the following page, on page 4, under Karen Worcester's report on regional monitoring, again in response to a board member's question, that board member's name shall remain anonymous, but it starts with Dr. Monica Hunter, who asked for some additional detail regarding marine monitoring activities. And so Karen's provided kind of a synopsis of some of the efforts that are going on in our region and offshore of our region. And let me know or let Karen know if you'd like some more information along those lines. On page 5, Lisa McCann has provided a very brief summary of just the progress and status of the total maximum daily load effort. One of the things that I was prompted to note is that halfway down through that list on the right-hand column, it refers to the Monterey Harbor Lead TMDL, and it says report or delisting proposal. And it reminds me that the State Board has listed on their website now the 303D, proposed 303D list changes. And it contains additions of impaired waters and some, in the case of our region, some delisting of impaired waters. And actually, Southern Monterey Bay is included as being potentially delisted for metals. Their main rationale was that when that was originally listed, it just said metals, which is not very specific. It didn't even say lead. The State Board does acknowledge the lead problem in Monterey Harbor, but says that there isn't any evidence of that out in the general Monterey Bay area. And that on top of the fact that it's too general and just saying metals and there's no criteria just for metals, they're proposing delisting. So, and there's some other delistings in there. For example, Carpinteria Marsh is proposed for delisting as far as sediment, not for nutrients or pathogens. So that's in the works at the State Board. And then, let's see, did any have anything else to add in terms of the written materials? Just wanted to let you know that I was asked to make a presentation at the Sanitary Agencies Managers Association last week in Guadalupe. And I did that. It was a good chance to do a little networking with those agencies that are all doing a basically a good job of treating wastewater in the southern part of the region. Mostly we talked about the collection system issues that seem to be high on their list of interest. And then yesterday I attended the American Society of Civil Engineers local chapter meeting. It was in Pismo Beach. And the reason I wanted to try to catch it, I wasn't presenting at it, but the local county reps gave a presentation on, they call it EARWRM, Integrated Regional Water Management or Master Planning. And a part of that, and it's a big part in San Luis Obispo area, and I think elsewhere in our region as well, is low impact development, sustainable development. And part of what they did was put in a plug, and they had flyers for our workshop, which we have scheduled for November 18th on that very same topic of sustainable development, low impact development. And that's gonna be at Embassy Suites, I believe it's November 18th, all day. And we're bringing in lots of folks from within the region who are experts on it, and from outside the region, from other states, who are going to provide expertise on various aspects of low-impact development. This is a follow-up to the approval that the board gave using some of the Guadalupe funds for trying to further that effort in our region. So I was glad to see that being talked up at the civil engineering meeting. And the county is actually a co-sponsor with us.
County of Santa Barbara?
No, San Luis Obispo.
San Luis Obispo.
Right.
And is the city of Seattle having some staff?
Yeah, I believe we have one representative from Seattle who's coming down because of their successful projects up there and experience with it.
Good.
So looking forward to it. We're getting a good response as far as those who are registering for it, is my understanding.
Okay.
And that's all I have to report. Is there any other questions?
Any board member questions? Okay, I see Mr. Almy would like to address us on Santa Barbara County Stormwater Management Permit.
Mr. Chairman, members of your board, my name is Robert Almy. I'm the manager of Santa Barbara County's Water Agency and the director of Project Clean Water, which includes the county's efforts to develop and implement a stormwater management program pursuant to phase two of the NPDES stormwater regulations. I'm here to urge the regional board staff to consider and bring to you for approval or to have your executive director approve our stormwater management program. Our third submittal was provided to the regional board in August of 2005. It's actually our fourth submittal. We submitted prior to the adoption of the general permit because there was an EPA deadline involved. So we've been about this business for several years now. Our problem is that our budget, the county's budget process, begins in January and is pretty much locked in by April, given that the stormwater management program is funded through the general fund. And it's a very competitive process, and the budget is pretty well established by the end of April. If we do not have our stormwater management program approved, in essence, a permit in hand, we have no basis for going to the county and asking them for the money to implement this program. As it is, we've seen a 67% cut in our budget in the last few years. It's very hard for us to maintain a program without some certainty, and your review and approval would be that certainty. Your director's report today has a table in it. I don't know if you've had a chance to look at that table and think about what it says. You've approved 3 of 34 municipal requests for permits in 2 years and 3 months. Currently, you have one in the works. You have 30-some permits from municipalities, that is, agencies such as mine and cities. At the rate you're going, it's going to take you years to get through them. This does not include the school district permits that are before you. The state of California is collecting no permit fees. You don't collect an annual fee until those permits are approved. My off-the-cuff estimate is you're losing hundreds of thousands of dollars a year in revenue, a year. Now, I'm not sure how your revenue picture works, but that would translate into more staff positions to look at these permits. You have a chicken and egg problem right now. In addition, Currently, there's no basis for reviewing and revising these stormwater programs. The only vehicle there is a review, draft, and you are into that kind of a cycle. So there's no deliberate mechanism for dealing with new issues or change in circumstance. That, in fact, is part of the general permit process. So if you can get these stormwater management programs approved, then you have a mechanism for looking, collecting data, looking at the data, and a rational process for revising them. That is, in fact, in the basis for the five-year process by which these things are developed. We are having a difficulty falling into that process without an approved stormwater management program. My other observation is that the state general permit laid out both the form and the substance of the stormwater management programs. We've tried very hard to follow that, but this whole process is much harder than it should be, given the amount of time and effort that went into the general permit. There seems to be, in the state of California, a feeling that the state knows better than local jurisdictions on how to implement local programs. This is a local program in the end. It's a mandated local program, but it is a local program. It involves local people and implementing the six minimum control measures. And I hope that you will afford us the courtesy and a certain amount of tolerance in how you view these plans and allow us the latitude, if you will, to implement them. We need to get there. My fear is, as I have watched other people's plans be reviewed, is they seem to be picked apart in a little bit more detail that seems to be appropriate given how the process is laid out and the basis of the process. So again, we hope very much to see our plan recommended for approval soon. And if we get before your board, I'm sure we'll have a chance to talk about it in more detail. But again, it feels like it's taken a little bit too much time. It feels like it's a little bit too much work, given a general permit in place. Thank you.
And any idea why the county has had to submit three times? What have been the issues?
In each case, we have received a rather lengthy letter. Some of these issues have to do with whether we have listed all of the impaired water bodies in the area. So they are what might be called editorial in nature. Some are issues where we disagree with the scope of their requirements in the general permit. In many cases, as we have talked to your staff, we have in fact found ourselves to be on the right side of the argument. Now, one of the things that I will admit is that we are trying to balance maintaining control with the Board of Supervisors over a potentially very expensive program. We have other program elements that go beyond the core requirements of the stormwater management permit, the general permit. And my direction from my policymakers is to do as much of that as we can, but to maintain control over those extra things. And the balance here is that whether we concede as a matter of permit jurisdiction these extra efforts to your board. And we believe that it's appropriate for us to maintain those controls. And we are trying to find that bright line between what we will commit to long term as a matter of regulation and which of those elements, like watershed planning, like steelhead restoration, like retrofitting of existing neighborhoods, go beyond the permit, and we would like to maintain control of those program elements. And I admit it's difficult, but we need to get on with the business, because as of now, I have no basis for funding requests, you have no basis for enforcement against me, and you're not collecting a fee from me.
This is the end of October, so certainly we're not going to hear this permit item by the end of the year, so it looks like.
Well, you don't have to hear the permit, actually.
If we all agree, all of us in this room agree, that we're close and there are no challenges,
right.
You have delegated authority to your executive director.
That's correct.
And we can go, I mean, we don't have any choice. We're gonna be in this as long as it takes to get everybody satisfied. But there are things that are required and there are things that aren't. And among the things that aren't are chemical monitoring. And we're not, we don't have the funding nor the mandate to make that kind of a commitment. That's one of several things that we're trying to work out with local interests. But the point is, we think we need to get on with the business of protecting water quality. And as long as we're preparing lengthy revisions of draft permits, we think that that effort is not as useful as going and doing other things.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Schmidt.
Good afternoon, my name's Kira Schmidt. I'm the executive director of Santa Barbara Channel Keeper. I'd also like to speak to the process of regional board review of the phase two stormwater management programs. My organization's been involved in the drafting and commenting on local municipalities' stormwater management programs since 2003. And while my organization certainly appreciates the sheer volume of stormwater management programs that are before the regional board and the amount of work that goes into reviewing those, my comment is similar but slightly different to Mr. Almy's. We appreciate the review letters that the regional board has returned to local municipalities and think they've been very helpful. I would just, and obviously we want at the very end of this process the strongest stormwater management programs possible, but we would just like to urge the regional board to dedicate as much resources as possible and more than currently, if that's possible, to getting these stormwater management programs through the process quickly. Thank you very much.
Well, I wish we had more staff. I know that Jennifer Bidding is gone for a year, and you know that kind of half guts our program. So I mean, we've got a resource problem there. What is staff's estimate on when we might see Santa Barbara County's permit kind of be voted internally, either up or down, mm-hmm. or you know, sent to the board? What do you think is happening?
Well, if you mentioned the staffing difficulties that we've had, we were able to get Ryan Lodge back, although we lost Bruce Payne, we lost Jennifer Bidding. And in answer to Mr. Almy's assumption that if there were more fees, then we could automatically hire more staff, unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. You have to have position approval from the governor's office, and that doesn't come around every day. But I think you're right. It would make sense to get these plans approved, and then you could have certainty as far as your budgeting, and it would make sense for the state to collect the fees for it, even if it doesn't translate into staff. One of the complexities here, and I don't know about the individual complexities of your submittals and the back and forth that you've had. I just